This WebmasterRadio.fm program is made possible in part by the following.
Today's forecast calls for 6 to 12 inches and temperatures will only be in the teens overnight, so bundle up and...
Imagine, you're planning your end-of-year reports, planning for next year. What are you going to do to monetize more in 2011?
We're going to have clear and sunny skies with a perfect day of weather for everyone coming to AFCON 2010.
Warm up your marketing strategies this December in our winter oasis for affiliate marketers. AFCON 2010 Florida, December 8th through 10th at the Fairmont Turnberry Isle Resort in Aventura, Florida. Sign up now at AFCON2010.com. That's AFFCON2010.com.
The opinions expressed on this WebmasterRadio.fm program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WebmasterRadio.fm. Any rebroadcast or retransmission of this program without the express written consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.
Feeling better? Looking better? Making life better? It's Life Tips. We'll explore the latest innovations, introduce you to the latest products, and bring you the tips from experts and environmental pioneers to help you lead a better life. Life tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, wiser. Here are your hosts.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Life Tips Show. I'm here with Eric Brody. Welcome, Eric.
Thank you.
Eric, you're the principal of Shift Advantage. Pleasure to have you on the show. Can you tell us a little bit about your company and your endeavors to make the world a better place?
Yeah, my company is a sustainability consulting firm, and we assist companies in organizations in helping make the shift towards sustainability and corporate responsibility while creating competitive advantage. And that's through a variety of means, everything from helping companies create cultural change and engage their employees to measuring and assessing their carbon footprint, water, energy, and figure out ways to make improvements, incorporating sustainability into their operations, into their activities. So a variety of things depending on what the client needs.
We're going to get into a lot of those issues, and there are about a 25 to 75 issues that were just in the first statements you made. And I, of course, am going deaf, but so don't use me as a barometer, but feel free to speak up a little bit if you want in case any of the guests are having trouble hearing you. You were connecting, I want to try to get the connection, if you can, between sustainability and competitive advantage. Can you talk about that a little bit and how those dots are being connected?
Yeah, I think what a lot of businesses are seeing in this kind of a new way of doing business is that sustainability and doing the right thing for business go hand in hand. And there's a variety of reasons for that. So there's market pressures where companies are seeing that their competitors are already moving in that direction. There's pressures from NGO, non-governmental organizations, so organizations like Greenpeace and others that are putting pressures on companies. There's public pressure from consumer groups wanting companies to do the right thing. So there's that advantage there. And then there's also just people wanting to buy from companies that reflect their own values, and that seems to be a growing trend. Obviously people want a great price and good service and everything else to be there. But in addition, more and more people want to know that the companies they're associating with reflect their own values. So there's that opportunity to bring those customers on or maintain the customers they already have. And then, of course, there's the cost efficiencies from really identifying what your energy use, water use, what all your inputs are, resource inputs are, and figuring out ways to reduce those, that which have a great benefit from an environmental perspective, but they also usually are great ways to reduce costs and find creative ways to either reduce those inefficiencies or use what was once considered waste, finding something that you could actually turn that waste into a revenue stream. So there's a lot of opportunities there. And then there's, of course, the old thing that's always been there, which is regulations, and whether they're international regulations or local regulations and requirements that companies have to deal with and face. So on that level, by working towards being more progressive on these environmental issues, you could get away from potential of being fined or shut down or get negative publicity because of not meeting the regulations and laws that are out there.
What is your background, and what do you do with the company?
So my background, I've been, I have an environmental science degree, and from that I went into more the environmental consulting world, helping companies that were needed to do certain things based on regulations and permitting is pretty popular out there in terms of a lot of consulting firms just do that level. I was more interested personally in getting beyond just regulation and into the more progressive sustainability and the innovation that's around that. So I ended up going to Nike and becoming their sustainable business integration manager, where I got a chance to do that and work within the company and through the supply chain to make changes that improve the business and improve the environmental footprint. I was there for about 7 years, and then I was recruited to a company called NAU, spelled NAU, which was a retail direct technical and urban clothing company with its own. We're building our own retail stores, and I was a sustainability person there for about 3 years until about 2008, right at the crux of beginning of the recession, and we were not able to get funding to keep going. So that brand shut down, and shortly after, another company bought that brand, before that happened, we went bankrupt, and all the employees had to be basically let go. So I ended up starting my consulting firm, and it was something I was planning on doing at some point, but this was kind of the push the bird out of the nest, and it seemed like it was good timing to do that. And I've been involved in a lot of working groups, industry collaborative groups, ranging from dealing with issues around social issues in factories overseas, to issues around carbon and greenhouse gases, to water, and a lot of these working groups come together because companies realize that on their own it's tough to solve these problems, but within industry collaborative groups it's easier to solve them. So through that experience, I'd made a lot of contacts in various industries, and from there able to have a pretty good base to start with in terms of clients to work with. So I've been very fortunate in having a broad range of clients, everything ranging from Boeing in their commercial airline sector to the Outdoor Industry Association, working with companies that provide outdoor gear to people, and working with a bank that's a national bank. So a wide range of clients over the last 2 years that I've been in business.
Let's take a little bit of a break. I want to come back with some rapid fire questions for you, though, on sustainability. And I understand you have some great tips for us all as well. So let's take a quick break, everybody, and then we'll be back in just a minute.
Life Tips will be right back after this short break. How do you choose the right affiliate network to partner with? The answer is simple. MarketHealth.com, where health and wealth connect. Established in 1998, the MarketHealth.com affiliate network allows you to market and promote the world's leading health and beauty offers on the net. Start making recurring income and the highest payouts in our industry. Choose from over 50 of the hottest selling offers, ranging from herbal supplements, skincare, vitamins, beauty products, weight loss, and much more. Sign up for free at MarketHealth.com and start making money today.
Hey, this is Danny Sullivan to talk to you about Bruce Clay Incorporated. They've made Inc. Magazine's list of growing private businesses and have exhibited and sponsored at my conferences since the very beginning. You've seen their search engine relationship chart, or you've read their SEO code of ethics, so you know they're SEO experts. But did you know they can help you with PPC, web analytics, web design, marketing strategy, promotion, and branding? Yep, get everything you need for success in the online marketplace. You can check it out from the professionals at Bruce Clay Incorporated. For over 10 years with offices worldwide, they've got the answers you need. Check them out today. Today at BruceClay.com.
What is this? Why is my website not ranking higher?
Well, sounds like you could use a link building report from SEOFox.com.
What's that?
You can't rank without good backlinks. And SEOFox.com's link building report lets you enter domains and compare their backlinks. It gives a detailed report that shows you why each domain ranks where it does, and it reduces the time it takes to find more links. With SEOFox.com's link building report, you can find more links, use their search marketing services to find more links, or better yet, they could even build your own backlinks.
So you think you're pretty sly with that SEO Fox link building report.
Sly like a fox.
Get your link building report today at SEOFox.com. That's SEOFox.com.
CEO Coach, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, or on demand anytime inside the Culture and Business Channel, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
And now back to Life Tips. Making your life smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Here are your hosts.
We're back, everybody, with Eric Brody. Eric, tell us a little bit about what companies can do currently and how companies can really engage their employees in sustainability and sort of this whole integrated make the world a better place concept. Because it seems to me it's very hard to do that now, and I bet you've got some great insight in that. So let's hear from you a little bit on the engagement of employees and sustainability.
Yeah, a real simplified version is basically figuring out what the big impacts and the inputs and outputs from an environmental lens of your company is from the activities you do, and then figuring out specific goals for each department and each individual.
And are you, wow, that sounds easy and simple. How much is involved in correcting problems that people are having or making people aware of how they're doing things incorrectly or teaching them new things that they could be doing? Do you have a breakdown of bad habits versus new things that people need to know?
Well, part of it is actually just making people aware of what their impacts are. And they may not know that what they do, if you want to call it a bad habit, or just that it has greater impacts on the world. So it's basically raising that awareness, and once they raise that awareness, figuring out a way that can be measured and communicated to them, and then some specific short-term and long-term goals to move things forward.
Hmm. Could you give us some examples of specific projects, that various departments and or individuals can roll out?
Yeah, so for instance, your financial department or individuals in that, you might have them embed into their systems not just the financial stuff, but also carbon data, the greenhouse gas emissions associated with employees' travel, for instance, or the utilities that you're paying. And that stuff's usually pretty easy to gather, and you could add that to the database. For the design teams, it could be integrating design for environment tools, which is a kind of a industry term for ways to improve the environmental footprint of the materials or the products or the whole process to design a product. Things like lightweighting, more energy-efficient products, products with recycled content. For HR, it might be the whole thing of integrating sustainability metrics into people's performance reviews or their job requirements or job descriptions. So there's a variety of ways it takes you can go there.
Wow. Before I ask a question about greenwashing, can you explain to the listeners what greenwashing is?
Yeah, greenwashing, it comes from another term, whitewashing. And the greenwashing is the environmental, aspect of that. And that would be, and sometimes it's intentional or non-intentional, but it's basically putting a message out there that makes it sound like your products are more environmentally friendly, or the products or the processes are more environmentally friendly than they really are, or may talk about something that's not relevant to the product, but it gives the sense that it's an environmentally friendly product, when in reality there's big issues.
Hmm. Is there a lot of greenwashing going on out there?
There is. There's a great deal of greenwashing going on in this um, in a variety of industries, and you could see it when you go to the store and you see everything on the shelf almost everything on the shelf has labels saying they're earth friendly or that they're completely non-toxic, and other claims that that may not be completely true, or they use a label that is maybe wasn't developed with good stakeholder involvement, so it doesn't really mean much. Examples are with forest products, wood or paper, the SFI label, which is done by the timber industry, and it basically puts a label on just regular practices that have been going on for years, compared to FSC, which is this label developed by multi-stakeholder group of both industry and environmental groups and public and worker representation groups that provide a really good measure on that provide assessment of the forest, how the forests are managed, and does a really good job of ensuring good management of forests for the paper products and the wood that you're getting.
When you people, I'm sure, at cocktail parties ask you all the time, how can I reduce my footprint? but do you have any favorite high impact footprint reducers?
Well, my favorite, personally, and this is a tough one, but living in a convenient location, in an urban area where you can walk to everything, where you can easily get to your workplace or your kid's school, and you could drive less, and you're also not causing more sprawl, which leads to loss of farmlands, forest areas, wetlands. That's a good one. It's a tough one, but that's one of my favorites.
Sounds great. Tell us a little bit about the process that you go through with companies and corporations that hire you to help with issues related to sustainability and some of the other things that you're trying to tackle.
Yeah, well, first we'll go through with them to figure out what makes sense in terms of creating a sustainability vision and mission that makes sense for their company. It's going to be different if it's an agricultural company versus an architectural company versus a manufacturer of cars. And then from that would develop actionable and measurable goals that fit into a strategic plan. So those goals might be one-year goals, quarterly goals, or five-year goals. There could be some aggressive stretch goals like zero waste or zero carbon, or it could be more pragmatic goals such as a percentage of reduction of waste or water over a certain amount of time. And then from there, working with departments in terms of training and engagement, and as I was mentioning earlier, getting ways that we can measure that and report it out. And one thing I've seen that works really well is creating internal reports and scorecards that could be just little graphs that show how people or departments are doing compared to other departments or other people, or how the company's doing compared to other companies in their industry. It creates a lot of motivation when you start seeing that, and people creates a little bit of that competitiveness to be on top.
Viral marketing within the sustainability area. Tell us about some of your SMART goals. I love reading a little bit about what you're doing. Could you tell us about the SMART goals? And
yeah, so SMART's a term that's out there. I think it's probably an HR term, but it stands for creating goals that are specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And those can obviously apply to anything, not just sustainability, but it's really important with sustainability to have those standards when you're setting goals. It puts things in perspective and gives people something that they can really shoot for.
When you have a national disaster like an oil spill in the Gulf that we recently unfortunately had, does the morale of sustainability and environmental protection, deflate tremendously? And if so, I wonder what the ramifications are for the oil spill, for example, beyond just the oil spill itself.
I guess maybe you could rephrase that question over your...
Right. So when so much damage is being done to the Gulf and it's a bit depressing and we're down, does that alter the goals individuals have? Does it make you say, I'll just dump this gasoline down the drain today because look at all the oil going into the, you know, into the Gulf. Do we see a trend, you know, of problems that are well beyond the Gulf?
I think, well, there's obviously there are those people that are dumping the used oil directly in the drain, or maybe they're putting pesticides on their lawns and they don't realize that it ends up going in the rivers as well. But I think whether it connects to whether they do that or not based on international and national disasters, it's hard to say. But I think disasters like that are a big wake-up call to a lot of people to realize, you know, what are the impacts of all this oil use? Because, you know, we could blame BP and Halliburton and a few others that were involved in that, which, you know, of course they should be get a lot of the blame for what happened and not having the procedures in place. But we also have to realize as companies, as individuals, that they're out there pumping that oil out because we're demanding it, whether it's for the plastics we use or the gasoline you need for our cars. So I think it wakes people up a bit to what are the system issues that we need to get at to reduce the need for oil, so we don't have to go to the areas that are more dangerous to drill from or to do business. So the idea that we can maybe try biking once a week or find other ways we can reduce our individual dependence on oil might come from that. Versus, I don't know if, there may be people that feel more pessimistic because they see those big disasters and feel like the little things they do doesn't make a difference. But I hope that doesn't occur with the majority of people.
Mm-hmm. What are the biggest, and we don't have much time left, and I really want to thank you for all this great, vast knowledge. I'd like to learn just a few questions. What are the biggest motivators? And is this an exciting business that you're in? Is this a growing business? Are there more consulting firms like yours popping up that can educate and inform people that make a difference? So a couple final questions for you. Any thoughts on that? Biggest motivators is the first question.
Yeah, I think the biggest motivators, I think people are realizing that there's finite resources in this world, and where our businesses and individual lives are dependent on the resources that the environment gives us, and also the ability, all the issues of pollution and seeing the impacts on the communities and the environment, I think are starting to motivate people, realizing that we can't just do business the way we have, and that there's also opportunities and innovations in sustainability. And yes, in the, so I'm doing the sustainability thing since the late 90s, and when I started, most of my friends and family didn't even know what that word meant, and now it seems to be on everybody's tongue, and a lot of people are putting the shingle out around sustainability, and I'm surprised to see like companies that generally are known for financial consulting or architectural consulting are adding sustainability to the services they provide. So when people are looking for consultants, I would suggest they look at the type of experience they have and make sure it meets what they need, because there are so many people putting the sustainability consulting hat on. But there's a lot of great consultants out there and a lot of great firms. I see it's definitely growing, just being wary of who people work with and asking questions before getting started is a great idea.
Could you give listeners an idea of what sort of price points companies are paying firms like yours, boutiques like yours that specialize in sustainability consulting and advice and information and guidance and education and all the other fun stuff? Could you even a wide range? Is it a company with 50 employees, a smaller company? Are you taking on projects for those small companies, or are you only going after larger companies? And what kind of price points are people offering for your services? Which gives us a feel, I think, for how serious people are about this important issue.
Yeah, well, that's a hard question to answer. I mean, the part about what size company is a little easier, and it's, for me, I've been working with everyone from small startups with just a couple people to medium-sized companies to large corporations. And the amount of work and the cost and what they can do varies so greatly, and it really just depends how deep and how much they want to do. I mean, you know, some companies that are doing sustainability, they have a staff of 30 people internally that are doing this stuff. So you can imagine what those kind of costs are to have those internal folks. Others just need, like a startup might just need to have a couple conversations, or maybe they need more, but they can only have a couple hour conversation just to get some ideas on where to get started. So I'll provide a couple hours of consultation. So in terms of the budget, it really, really varies, and it's all over the place depending on how deep the company wants to go and what issues they have, how complex their supply chain is, it's global or if they're just making something on site, and how big their company is.
Great answer, and in a wide range there. Thanks for that. Do you have any final tips and advice that you would like to share with people? I think we probably got a lot of tips and advice out to people already, but we'll be making some of the tips that you wrote up and sent in to us in advance available on a profile page on Life Tips, along with a link to this recording, so we'll be able to get some content out there for you. But any final words on either final tips and or ways people should get a hold of you if they're interested in learning more about your services?
Yeah, I would say in terms of final tips, I would just say it could be very daunting, but you know, there's easy steps to get started, and don't be afraid to just take some small baby steps in terms of addressing maybe the things you do know about or the values that you have, and doing something that meets your values and something that's personally important to you. So that would be one way to get started. And then in terms of if people want to get a hold of me, if they go to my website, which is Shift Advantage, that's Shift as in shifting gears, shiftadvantage.com, they can get a hold of me there, or they can email me. Email address is eric.brody@shiftadvantage.com. I'd be happy to talk with folks and maybe help them get started on their way towards the path of becoming more sustainable.
Appreciate all your knowledge today and all your help for the listeners listening in. So, Eric, thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Indeed. Until next week, everybody, I hope your life is a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser, and more sustainable. Thanks again for listening, and everyone. See you next week.